Let's get to work here indeed. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Article 5 Live, now coming to you live from the Radio Bunker somewhere in Arizona. It's time for the best 90 minutes in digital media. Article 5 Live. I'm your host, JD. It is Sunday, October 4th, 2020. 31 days until the most important election in the history of mankind. It's time to pray for the president and the first lady and the staff. It's absolutely horrible what's going on. COVID-19 hits the president. Isn't that interesting? What impeccable timing, right? Isn't that pretty crazy? A lot of people have a lot of different conspiracy theories about that kind of stuff. Personally, I think that he actually is sick with it. I believe he is in physical danger with the COVID. It's hard to believe that they would take a chance with the president's life and give him experimental drugs. I find this very alarming. I don't quite understand it, to be honest with you. We find ourselves in this awkward position a month from this momentous election. As most of you know, they say the president will be released from Walter Reed tomorrow, probably, if he continues to improve and he can go back to the White House. I'm absolutely 100% alarmed that they gave him an experimental drug in conjunction with remdesivir and several other drugs. At least they gave him zinc and vitamin D and vitamin C. It's really quite a startling development, to say the least. It's the most horrific thing I can imagine happening is we lose our president. And it's an actual possibility. It's always a possibility, but I mean, that possibility has gotten this much closer to reality with him being in the care of physicians. I don't know about you, but the slitherers in white coats are not top on my trust list. Now, I realize if you're infirm, whatever way you are infirm, you are at their mercy. We are at such a critical time in our history. It's just unbelievable that we're going through this. So we need to pray for our president every day, multiple times a day, and mean it from your heart. And perhaps he'll get through this and he'll come out the other side the champion that he is and has been all of his life. Let us hope, okay? So I just wanted to say, don't lose faith. The globalists haven't won yet. We still have a chance, you guys. We still have a chance. I want to move on to a couple of other subjects. The revelation about the Russia hoax came out last week that Hillary Clinton and the DNC conjured up the whole thing, and the FBI went along with it, and James Comey claims he didn't know what his underlings were up to. I'm here to call BS on that. James Comey is a big liar. He is a traitor. And if there's any justice on this side of life, of the life of James Comey, in other words, while he still walks the earth, he will spend the rest of his life in prison where he belongs. He's not the only one, and he's not even the worst one, but he is one of the smuggest, and he really, really belongs in prison. And I pray that kind of a justice is actually answered, okay? But there's so many others that need to go as well. Comey is not the only one, as I said. It's so interesting how all these revelations are completely covered up with everything else, because either by design or by just lack of mental capacity, the media as a collective can only focus on one thing at a time. They do not have the mental capacity to focus their energy on more than one major story at a time. Instead of reporting 5 minutes of every hour on the president, it's 24/7. The president has COVID. He was reckless. He didn't wear his mask. He encouraged all of us not to wear their mask. And now look at him now. He's sick with COVID. He mismanaged the pandemic. On and on and on with all the bull crap. Molly Hemingway commented on Howie Kurtz's show today. She lives in the state of Virginia, and their governor has been a strict adherent to the CDC guidelines, masks, groups, no social distancing, all the CDC protocol right down the line was followed by him, his family, everyone around him, absolutely to the T. Him and his wife both came down with COVID. What I want you to understand, if you don't already, and you probably do, the mask is not going to stop you from getting COVID. Social distancing is not going to stop you from getting COVID. Like I've said many times on the air before, everyone is going to eventually get COVID-19. It's not going away. It's been released upon the world. It's there, and it is not going away. Remember 15 days to slow the spread? Well, here we are in month 7 or 8, whatever it is now. The spread is not being slowed by any of the tactics of the WHO or the CDC or any of the brainiacs in the medical tyranny industry. Everyone's going to get COVID. That's just the reality of it. And no amount of mask wearing is going to stop that. The mask is good for one thing and one thing only, stopping spittle. So if you aerosolize your spit with your speech, it can block that. And if your spittle was carrying the virus, it could possibly stop that. But the virus itself is about a 20th the size of the smallest opening in the mask. So good luck. You know, the virus wants to get out of there. It's going to. Besides that, there are far more negative things about a mask than positive. So the mask has become a symbol of submission to all the powers that are running this COVID hoax. Now, the virus is obviously not a hoax, but all the reaction and all the BS surrounding it, it's not exactly a hoax. It's a tactic to take over your freedom. It's tied into all the other things that are happening. It's tied into the fires. It's tied into the riots. It's tied into the BLM nonsense. It's tied into the Antifa nonsense, which is all tied into the terrorist nonsense. Because now they're importing jihadis and mixing them into the BLMers and the Antifas. So it's going to get ugly, folks, if we don't, particularly if we lose our president. You know, we're looking at hot civil war here, and none of us want that. Oh, let me not speak for the left, because it seems with their tactics, that is just exactly what they want. And they may get what they want, but they will die regretting what they're aiming for because of the millions and millions and millions of trained former and current military in this country. And those of us that never even came anywhere near the military are also trained and armed and willing to be led by those that are former military. And if our country and our freedom and our constitution and our way of life is at stake, I don't know anybody that won't fight for that. So good luck, lefties. You want to fight? You're going to get one, but you're going to regret it. And you won't live very long to regret it, just long enough to realize, oops, I've been trying to give you these warnings because it makes no sense for you guys to pick a fight with us like this. Your leaders, if your side wins, and it's not going to, but if they did win
and the Marxist revolution took over the United States of America, you minions would be the first ones to be lined up and shot in the head, because they are, since you betrayed your countrymen, why do you think your bosses are going to trust you? No. You'll be the most dangerous ones to them, because when you leftist minions figure out who's leading you and what their real purpose is, you're going to turn against them. And they're smart enough to know that. You just aren't. So if they do win, you will be the first ones executed. You idiots, you. Because you have no historic reference for what's going on in the United States of America. You have no idea what your actual position in all this is. Your oikophobia is unbelievable. That's some kind of a Greek word about, you know, you hate your home and your country. It's very, very, very sad that we've actually come to this position. But you've had three generations now of people that have been demoralized against our own country. They've been taught to hate their own country through the schools. Nikita Khrushchev said it the best. My good friend who's going to be joining us on the show tonight put a quote on Facebook, but he was trying to dig up in his memory bank last time he was on the show. So go ahead and get that ready, Gene. I know you're listening, because we're gonna talk about that some. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about Chris Wallace and this debate nonsense. Chris Wallace has pulled his mask off as well. He used to try to convince people that he was actually, fair and balanced and neutral. This guy is the worst moderator of a debate that I've ever seen in my entire life. I would rather have, you know, Jake Tapper or any of the ridiculous, non-professional people from CNN, I'd rather have Rachel Maddow as a moderator than Chris Wallace, because Chris Wallace believes he believes his own BS. I think he's so blind to his own bias. He's either a real, just a snarky operative, or he's so blind to his own bias. He doesn't even know he's biased. I don't know which it is. I can't read a man's heart. All I know is this guy does not belong in a position of moderating any debate, let alone a presidential debate, and let alone the most consequential presidential debates in the history of mankind. I'm surprised that I have to say all this, because I did not think that Chris Wallace was actually that bad, but he proved me wrong. It's very interesting how disgusting this guy turned out to be. And he didn't disappoint on his show this Sunday. Chris Wallace thinks he's his dad. Let me tell you something. Mike Wallace, the father of Chris Wallace, was an actual journalist, albeit a leftist bent journalist like most were, but at least he had some of that old school quality about him where he respected the truth. He just believed in massive, you know, leftist style government. But if you presented the truth to him, he would accept it. He was a reasonable man. He wasn't in denial. I have a lot of respect for Mike Wallace compared to Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace is nothing but a shameless shill for the Democrats. Many have predicted that this will be the end of his career, just like it was the end of Megyn Kelly's career. I think as long as Fox News exists, he'll still have a job, because they have all shifted to the left at Fox. They have some commentators that want to be fair-minded, such as Tucker and Sean and Maria Bartiromo. Tucker's a libertarian. Maria's a Democrat. Sean's a Republican, only he says he's a conservative. He's not a registered Republican. He's a registered conservative, as you all know. You've heard him say like 600,000 times, because he looks like to talk about himself so much. And a few others that I've missed on Fox are still people worth listening to. But by and large, there's a leftist bent to Fox News. We have nothing in the popular ones, or the ones that think they're on top. You know, the actual the actual platforms that tell the truth are demonized by all the rest. It's absolutely disgusting. And we find ourselves at the precipice of a civil war, a consequential election, and our president in the hospital at the with medical, quote-unquote, professionals. He is at their mercy. That's where we find ourselves today. Now, I'm not going to sit here and present the worst case scenario like some people have, because your mind and your imagination can go there all by itself. I don't need to whip up that frenzy. But if we lose our president, you better have food, water, ammo, transportation, a place to go, because it's going to be Road Warrior. So let's pray we don't lose our president, because none of us want to go there. Now, next up, I'm going to play you a video. And on the other side of this little break that we played a video on, I am going to be joined by our guest tonight, Mr. Gene Daly. And we're going to have an interesting conversation with Gene. It's always wonderful to hear what Gene has to say. So here is a nice little video for you. Enjoy.
Congress appeared to be moving towards making pedophobia a hate crime. They stated that President Trump has not condemned the QAnon conspiracy, which revolves around the baseless theory that Trump and his allies are working to expose a cabal of Democrats, media figures, and celebrities who are running an international child trafficking ring. They went on to say that the First Amendment is a powerful weapon. Turning that weapon on those who use fantasies as a menacing grift is the responsibility of reasonable citizens, legislators, and executives. The same Congress who has paid out $15 million of taxpayer money to silence their own victims of sexual harassment want to weaponize the First Amendment to silence anyone who suggests that Democrats, media figures, and celebrities are involved in child trafficking. They say the claim is baseless, but that is an obvious lie. And it's not just the Democrats. In the 1980s, foster children from Nebraska were being auctioned off at elite parties on the East Coast and sent as prostitutes to powerful politicians, including at the White House. A federal grand jury got involved to rule that the explosive testimony of the victimized foster children was a hoax. The Vatican has been exposed for years of covering up a hidden pedo culture within the Catholic Church. Hillary Clinton's State Department covered for a pedophile ambassador. Oprah Winfrey promoted a man who was enslaving women, impregnating them, and selling their babies internationally. Hollywood, Nickelodeon, and Disney have all been exposed for rehiring convicted pedophiles to work with children. And the mainstream media tells you that this is all fantasy. After WikiLeaks released the Podesta emails, masses of people began investigating child sex trafficking, and nothing has been the same ever since. Following his inauguration, President Trump vowed to fight the epidemic of human trafficking. He signed executive orders to do so. And over 1,500 pedophiles involved in child sex trafficking operations were arrested, all within his first month as president, and the mainstream media ignored it. In June of 2017, Ivanka Trump said that ending human trafficking is in our moral and strategic interests and is a top priority of the White House. Big arrests continued all over the globe, reported by local media only. Thousands of arrests, thousands of children rescued, including infants. NXIVM cult leaders have been charged with child porn and sex trafficking. Their leader was an outspoken advocate of pedophilia. They ran multiple daycare centers. For several years, there has been talk about Jeffrey Epstein's private jet, the Lolita Express, used to ferry powerful people to his private pedophile island, including dozens of times by Bill Clinton, seen here partying with convicted pedophile and deep state witness George Nader. Bill Gates, who was also associated with Jeffrey Epstein, employed a former Microsoft engineer to work on his private estate, who was arrested on the Gates property in 2014 for possessing over 6,000 images of child rape and assault, including the rape of boys and girls as young as 8 years old. The man only did 90 days in jail. The same fat losers who have gotten rich off of corrupt side deals for years, who have paid out $15 million to silence their own victims. The same worthless elected officials who have been stalling any and all investigations into the crooked establishment, which they have exploited for decades, now want to weaponize the First Amendment to silence anyone who suggests they or their Hollywood media cohorts might be involved in child sex trafficking. The crime of pedophilia is recorded in history, all the way to the Bible. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. But times have changed, and we don't need to bother with millstones any longer. For Infowars.com, this is Greg Reese.
So there you have it. Let me take a minute to talk about our sponsors. First, we have our longtime sponsors, Bishop Ammunition Manufacturing. The Bishops have built a great business, and you got to check out their catalog at bishopammunition.com or on Facebook at Bishop Ammunition and Firearms. Also, they have a group, the 475 Short Magnum group, I think. Enjoying that and find out news about the round that's has their name on the head stamp, the 475 Bishop. BishopAmmunition.com. God bless the Second Amendment is their motto. Now, I also want to tell you about our new national sponsor that's coming online soon. I haven't cut their ad yet, but I want to talk about Futures Network Live. This is a futures trader collaboration social media group where you can learn, you can share your trading experience, you can collaborate with traders that have years and years of experience, you can interact and share strategies. They have competitions where they call it the Similionaire competition, where you have a certain amount of time to trade with each other, and it's really a good thing. It's Futures Network Live. Check them out. And we'll have a lot more to come, and we'll have those guys on as a guest to tell you about their collaboration network for futures traders. And I think they even branch into options and things like this. So stay tuned for that. Futures Network Live. And, check them out. So next, without further ado, I'd like to introduce a man who can be only described as intrepid, because he has done so many things in his life. He's the former Phoenix police officer in the 1970s. He's a military veteran. He was a Hollywood actor, producer, and director. And he's owned he was a producer in Europe. He worked in Europe for 20 years, all over France and Spain and England. And I call him the intrepid Gene Daly. And we welcome him back to Article 5 Live. Gene Daly, thanks for joining us tonight. How you doing, buddy? Well, maybe we'll take a little break here and I'll give him a call.
There's experimental drugs that no one has ever been given together. President Trump is in grave danger. Evidence is mounting that he's being deliberately killed.
I'll be right back.
Walter Reed Military Hospital.
After the president tested positive for COVID-19, he was taken to the Walter Reed Army Medical Center and administered an experimental cocktail made up of two dangerous drugs. And it could be the perfect assassination. If the president were to die, the corrupt establishment could claim total victory, lock down the entire country, start going after the patriots, and destroy whatever is left of our birthright.
Evidence is mounting The facts are overwhelming. Either the doctors at Walter Reed Medical Facility in D.C. are trying to kill President Trump, or they are the most inept idiots in the medical field that modern history has ever seen. They are giving the president two experimental drugs, one a synthetic nanotech antibody and the other remdesivir, and it's on record that you wouldn't give either one of these experimental drugs to someone unless they were in an emergency situation and in critical condition, unable to walk, because both of the drugs have serious side effects. Remdesivir, in 70% of cases, actually makes the infection.
All right, we got Gene. All right, isn't live broadcasting just fun as heck? Gene Daly, welcome back to Article 5 Live, and I trust you were listening to the show. I trust you were listening to the show, and you can, you know, from the absolute cornucopia of topics I opened up with, pick one and expound if you'd like. Go ahead. Gene Daly, everybody.
Well, let's suppose that the Democrats are introducing socialism to our country. It reminds me of the 1959-1960 speech of Nikita Khrushchev at the UN. That's, people may have seen pictures of it, where he got up and was at the podium at the UN, and during the end of his speech, to make sure everyone was listening, he took his shoe off and banged it on the podium, and then said, "We will bury you. We have time. We will do this very slowly." So we're talking about 60 years later. Yeah, I know that's very slowly, but the communists never give up.
Well, not only, go ahead. Yeah. Not only do they not give up, they have, you know, they always look ahead four or five generations. They don't, we look at next week in our culture a lot of times,
that's,
you know,
very true.
And they look ahead 100 years, just like the Muslims do. And so, you know, we're caught in amazement of how, you know, pernicious and persistent that the leftists are. And I got to say that, you know, that's about the only admirable characteristic about that side of the political spectrum, is that they absolutely do, you know, carry through with their plan. You know, they plan the work and work the plan. And
I agree, JD, but let me bring out something else. The main problem that we're having with fighting their ideas is they won't state their ideas clearly. Joe Biden won't bring out his list of potential Supreme Court nominees because he knows that if the population finds out, he's gone. He also won't bring out what he plans to do in the area of socialized medicine, because if he does, he knows that he's gone. So the problem is we don't have reporters who will push back on him and get answers out of him. That was the big failing on the debate and Wallace.
Well, yeah, among other failings, Wallace failed to be fair. He would cut Trump off. I know Trump got under Wallace's skin every bit as much as he got under Biden's skin. And so Wallace retaliated by cutting Trump off every time he was making a point that absolutely buried Joe Biden. Wallace jumped in and cut him off. And, you know, but Trump was pretty persistent and he got his point across anyway. Now, a lot of people didn't like Trump interrupting all those times that he did. But as has been pointed out 1,000 times about President Trump, you punch him, he's going to punch you back 100 times. And guess who is the first one to interrupt? That would be Joe Biden.
That's true. Now, the other thing is that as long as he maintains this position that he's in, he's not going to get any more answers that way out of Joe Biden. He may not ever get any answers out of Joe Biden, and that will hurt Joe in the election time. But the fact of it is we all know there's lots of people who don't like his tweets. But by the same token, you always know where he stands. And you don't know that with every politician.
True. And what I find deliciously ironic is, first of all, everybody underestimates Donald J. Trump, who has an IQ somewhere around 180. Okay? Here's a guy who never ran for any political office in his life. And the first one he tries for is president of the United States of America, and he wins as a neophyte. First of all, underestimating a guy that can do something like that is pretty foolhardy, number one. Number two, President Trump, during last debate go-around, was no stranger to personal insult. Everybody thought that was rather crude. Even our side did. And it created the Never Trumper gang, or at least they use that for an excuse to become Never Trumpers. That's not the real reason they're Never Trumpers, but that's what they use for cover. Okay. Stick with me now. So Trump used personal attacks to his advantage. So he lowered the bar of debate. So now he comes around to this cycle of debates after being a president for nearly 4 years. And what happens? Joe Biden comes into that arena of the personal attack and tells him to shut up, calls him a clown, and Trump never did any such thing. He elevated his debate to leave out personal attacks and attacked Biden on policy and past deeds and criminality and things of substance, leaving out any personal attack, which is, I think, a Machiavellian trap that Biden fell into, and he looks like a damn fool. Your thoughts, Gene Daly?
I just think that Trump should have concentrated more on his history, his backstory, because it's really, really ugly. I mean, you've got pictures.
Well, true. Let's, before we go down that road, and I'm going to let you go down that road in just a second, my friend. But what I want you to do is comment on my idea that Trump actually used that as a strategy, being four or five moves ahead of all the politicians. I believe he knew in advance that he was going to be in the gutter, drag him in there, and then rise above it and make them look like idiots. I think that's what he did. What is your opinion on my theory? And then go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree with that, because the only comeback that Biden has was, man, shut up. And that's his phrase for everything. Or just, no, I won't comment, like he did later on. And it leaves Biden nowhere to go.
Do you believe that Trump did that on purpose, or you think it just happened that way?
No. That was figured out in the rehearsal.
Because it's friggin' genius, if you ask me.
Oh, I agree. Because he didn't really state the history. He just made it frustrating for Biden. And Biden expected all too much to get the date barked at him, and the place and the speech that he gave supporting the KKK.
Right. Now,
so
go ahead.
It put Biden off balance. That was his main target, and that's what he did.
Yeah, that, and the other thing that really, really pissed Biden off was when Trump had the late breaking news that the wife of the mayor of Moscow had given a douchebag's son $3.2 million, and Biden had no idea that that was even out, let alone it was going to come out of Trump's mouth at the debate. And I thought that was a delicious moment as well.
Oh yeah. Because then he tried to put it on Trump that he was disparaging his dead son who was in the military. And he just wanted to distract whatever was being said before that away from the audience, so they wouldn't get the whole impact of it.
Indeed.
And I think Trump got him dead to rights on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's kind of natural that you and I would go into talking about the debates, because so much of our work on the radio together over the years was debate analysis with our great friend, James Copeland, who declined to come on this program until all the debates are over with, by the way. That's why you haven't heard from James. He is being a consultant for another radio host right now. And he did not want to, you know, color his debate analysis with his partisan opinion, which he likes to share with me. So he's saving that for us and this audience till after all the debates are over. So that would be delicious to hear our great friend, James Copeland. Maybe I'll bring you on with him, Gene, for, you know, old time's sake, the years we spent together on the radio. It might be cool to meet here on digital media as well. So I'm looking forward to the end of the debate so we can have James back. Just to let you know, stay tuned, because we have not neglected James' commentary in this regard. But you and I are going to have to carry the candle until he's done with his other gig, okay?
Oh, I agree. But isn't it wonderful to find such an honest man who won't impede anything that will keep his deal correct?
Yeah, because he already made a commitment to the other host to give him straightforward debate analysis, and he didn't want to go on the air on another show and give his political opinion, which he typically does with you and I.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. It's just wonderful to see a guy who, even with old friends, will hold his fire and say, "No, I'm in another deal."
Indeed, James. And I mean, Gene, you know, James is a stand-up guy. We enjoy him, but I'm ever so grateful to have you on the air tonight, because I want to talk to you about a disturbing development in Europe regarding the COVID reaction nonsense around the world. I would be lying if I didn't say I am wholeheartedly disappointed, and that's putting it mildly, in Boris Johnson and his reaction to the COVID nonsense. And I am not alone, because even the man who propelled him into the prime ministership of the UK, none other than Nigel Farage, has disavowed him as a political ally. Your thoughts on that subject, and I hope you go into depth on that, because I've been wanting to ask you about this. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, I know a little bit about Nigel, and I know a little bit about
Boris.
I know a little bit about him, because at one point he was mayor of London for quite a few years, and he would ride his bicycle to work. And one day on the way back from work at the parliament, he saw this guy wrestling with a woman over her purse, stopped his bicycle, threw the guy to the ground, handed the purse back to the woman, and held the guy on the ground until the police got there. That's something you don't see every day out of a politician. So he got kind of he's always had kind of a commentaried life. People commented on his life all the way back into some of the societies that he was in college. He's been on the lucky side of everything going down. But I think his run-in with COVID has changed his view quite a bit. So I haven't heard his exact comments on him being in the hospital for COVID, but I know it hit him twice, because he was just about to be released and then it came back on him double hard. So I know about that, but they're actually expecting the second wave to move through Europe at any moment. And part of it is because it's in Spain, it's in the UK, and it's in Italy again. So I'm just amazed that these people who have never been there, haven't ever seen anything, haven't seen how it works, are trying to comment on Boris in a political sense while over here.
Well, we can take that in several different directions. First direction, let's take it, is why has Nigel said he no longer supports Boris in a political manner because of his COVID reaction? What do you think that's all about?
Well, unless I had heard the actual comments by Boris, I couldn't really know which one of the problems that Nigel is going for.
Fair enough. If you haven't heard what Nigel has said, we don't need to try to pry any comments out of you on that, because you'd have to hear it to understand why I even asked the question. Okay, let's go down this rabbit hole then with what we're just talking about. As regards to President Trump, now that he's had COVID-19, he's weakened with fairly good confidence, predict he's going to survive it and be okay. It looks like they're going to release him from Walter Reed tomorrow or the next day, and he'll be able to go back to the White House and continue the remdesivir. And I sure as hell hope they don't give him that stupid colonel cocktail or whatever the hell it is. 8 grams of experimental crap shooting into the president of the United States alongside of another experimental drug, remdesivir, who has never had those two put together in the same human body. I don't understand why anybody would take that risk with the president of the United States. It makes no sense, but that's just my opinion. But I digress. What I'm trying to get to here is you alluded to the fact that Boris Johnson approaches the COVID reaction from a place of experience, like almost dying from the crud. So what do you, how do you think that's going to color President Trump's reaction toward the COVID? Is he going to come out and say everybody needs to wear a mask and everybody lock their ass down? No, and I don't think so either. What do you think?
I honestly don't think there'll be any of that, because as he has said more than once during this COVID nightmare, we are American. We have the right to choose. If he's upset that states are requiring masks or mandating masks, there's no reason for it. We have our freedoms here. Now, I have problems that I won't go out and potentially confront this, but I know that there are other people much younger than I who are going out, going to work, doing their jobs, and don't want anything.
Well,
more.
Gene, in all fairness, without disclosing anything, you have 3 or 4 different high risk categories, including your age, that would preclude you from, you know, wanting to mix with the public, because this COVID virus is, you would be quite vulnerable to it if you happen to become overcome with, you know, contracting this virus. Yeah, that's quite understandable on a personal level. Even I am up in the age group that needs to worry about these kinds of things. So yeah, I totally understand. And President Trump has 2 major risk factors. Now, he doesn't have comorbidities, but he has 2 risk factors. One is his age, being 74, and his weight, which he's probably 40 pounds overweight, maybe 50 pounds overweight, somewhere around there, borderline what they call obese. Come on, man. He's healthy is what he is. And he's
happy.
Yeah, healthy, happy, and brilliant, and president of the United States.
Yeah, what could be wrong with this life?
Except the pressure, but he seems to thrive on that sort of thing.
Oh, he loves
which,
it.
Which his enemies don't quite get, I don't think, or they don't understand. He's like the Energizer Bunny. They can't figure out why they can't take this guy down. But let's take our conversation about COVID down the third rabbit hole that I'd like to go down. And you mentioned the fear of resurgence in the UK, and this is an explanation for Boris's reaction, all that stuff. I want to remind you of the fact that the CDC published an article a couple of weeks ago that was completely ignored by the mainstream media, but the CDC said that only 6% of the deaths were of COVID-19 only. The other 94% of the 200,000 deaths had at least 2 comorbidities. Let's translate that into English real quick. That means these people died of stroke, heart attack, all the other things, pneumonia, and all that kind of stuff, and they happen to have COVID in their system. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we know for a fact that, again, through the CDC, there's up to 90% false positives. When you test positive for COVID-19, there's a 9 of 10 chance you don't really have it, or you don't really have enough of it to be contagious or sick with it. So these factors are being ignored because they're using COVID-19 to foment fear in the American population, and indeed the world population, so that Bill Gates and his minions can inoculate everybody from COVID-19. This is the plan. And there's other sinister elements that I don't wish to go into unless you want to, but considering these things that we know to be true, I wish that a man like Boris Johnson would stand up to this rather than fold to it and become seemingly the cuck of Big Pharma. Your comments, Gene Daly.
Yes, I would agree with your last bit completely. Boris has always been known to stand up, and like Trump, you may not like his position, but you always know where he stood. So I'm a little disappointed in that Boris hasn't done that yet. But again, I believe that the progressives in Europe, the Liberal Party in the UK, and the Democrats here are doing this on purpose. And I'm glad that we got enough of it out that we know about where we are with this. So I think they're going down the wrong rabbit hole, as you're putting it, for the Democrats to be putting this forward, because Trump coming out of it is going to allay the fears of a lot of people in the United States, because they're going to see exactly what you're talking about. He's 74 and 40 pounds overweight. That ain't a good combination.
Right. And it has the potential of making him look like Superman. If this guy bounces back from COVID, like he bounced back from all the other adversities he ever had in his life, in his entire career, even in his political career. I mean, they've impeached this guy. They send the CIA, the FBI, the Mossad, the Five Eyes after his ass, trying to destroy him from every angle. They've sent the district courts in New York after his finances. They've tried to dig up dirt. They've made up stories about his sexual escapades. They dig up a 9-year-old tape of him saying you can't grab him by the PUSSY. All this stuff. And here he is, leader of the free world. And they don't know what the hell to do, because they thought for sure this guy'd be gone by now. You know, how in the hell is he withstanding all of these onslaughts that would taken out any other man that was ever president of the United States? Would have been gone a long time ago, Gene.
Maybe I'm too much of a historian, but when I saw him sit down in the Oval Office and over his right shoulder was a portrait of Jackson, who went down the Mississippi and beat the pants off the British in the War of 1812. I knew right then we were in for it, because they tried to get rid of Jackson exactly the same way. They're swamp creatures. They believe you need to be born in and around that area and be the offspring of famous politicians from the past in order to get anywhere, in order to just be able to be shown how to walk through the swamp.
Yale or Princeton or any of the other Ivy League schools, a graduate from there, or you just don't qualify. There's another qualification, right?
Yeah, sure. And to have contacts where you need to have contacts, because that always works.
Well, Trump never was part of the establishment in that regard, because he was his own establishment. He always went his own way. He wasn't part of the country club, because he built his own country club. He didn't need their ass. And boy, do they resent that, not just on an envy level, but he has the goods on their ass and the big scams. Yeah, because when all this crap comes out about how they ran not just pedophile rings, but the blackmail angle of all the pedophile rings of all the world leaders. You know, Jeffrey Epstein could not be allowed to live to tell his side of the story. So I'm surprised that Epstein didn't have any dead man triggers, because if he had any brains, he would, because he had to know that he knew way too much to be kept alive once he was put into prison. So I don't understand why Epstein wasn't bright enough to have a dead man trigger, or maybe they took out his dead man triggers before they took him out. I don't know how sophisticated the operation is on the dark side there, but I got to tell you this, Gene, that video I played, that's not BS. These people are involved with human trafficking, sex slavery, and indeed they're killing these kids in Satan worship. And this stuff's coming out all over the place. And they can't stop it.
They have no religion. They have no
religion. Yeah, they do. It's called Satanism.
Well, okay, but that's a way to put it off. I think they've just turned cold to everything.
They love Aleister Crowley. Do your research. You're going to find out I'm right about that.
No, I've already done my research on Crowley.
No, I mean on these people. They're disciples of him.
So I wholeheartedly agree. But they've just got cold hearts.
Well, that's because they sold their soul to the dark side, brother.
Amen, brother.
So, you know, these guys are going to have their comeuppance, and they're afraid Trump's going to be the one that delivers. And I'll tell you what, if he survives this election, he survives this COVID and all the attempts to take his ass out, he just may be the one that facilitates bringing these fools to justice.
Well, I think he's already got people working on that.
Sure, he's had 10,000 arrests in his first 3 years.
Oh, I understand that, but I'm talking about on the QT. He's got access to everyone's ear that he wants to find out who can do that job for him and make it on the QT.
Absolutely, my friend. And I tell you what, man, we live in interesting times. We have the curse of who is it? Who
cursed the Chinese curse?
Yeah, who was it that said it? I forget now. I should know this. But the Chinese curse is, may you live in interesting times. And we've certainly been cursed by that one, and we're living through it right now. Oh, I want to mention to the audience, I don't care if you're a Democrat, I don't care if you're independent, I don't care if you're Libertarian, Green Party, Republican, or nothing at all, get registered to vote. In five or seven states, including the great state of Arizona, you have one more day to register to vote. And don't stop at registering to vote. Tomorrow is your last day, people. Wake up. Tomorrow's your last day to register. Don't just stop there. Make sure you show up in person at the polls November 3rd and vote Republican all the way down the line, even if you're a Democrat. And if I have to tell you why, then you've been sleeping for the last year, okay?
What was that great line the guy used? He probably peaked in high school.
Indeed. Okay, listen. Yeah, because, you know, if you want your neighborhood burned down to the ground and you want rapists and killers turned loose because we can't let these guys catch COVID in prison, don't you know? And you want people that do these things and destroy property and burn cars and shoot at police, you want them released on their own recognizance, just keep voting those asshole Democrats in office, because that's what you're going to get. You're going to get nothing but chaos and mayhem because they're run by George Soros and the globalists. And the end goal is to aid the Marxist revolution and take over of our great homeland, the United States of America. If you don't think that's happening, you got your eyes and ears closed, my friends.
Oh, I agree. And on top of that, the Pope just in the last couple of days has come out with a encyclical that supports going to come socialism without ever using the word.
Yep. He is the what do they call him? There's a word for it, but he's a pope in name only. And I can tell you that the Catholic Church, I don't know one Catholic that embraces this pope. And I know a lot of Catholics, and they all think that he needs to go yesterday.
Oh, I agree. I suppose.
And that's not for me. I'm not Catholic, and so my opinion would count less. These are people that are, you know, real Catholics that believe in Catholicism, and they believe that Pope doesn't belong in the Catholic Church, let alone be the Pope.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. But he's from Argentina, I think.
Yes.
Or Brazil, one or the other. And they've got a whole different way of looking at things, which is why I don't understand why they brought him in to be Pope.
Well, because there has been evil people that have taken over the power in the Catholic Church is the only explanation I can come up with.
Yeah, I think we're all sliding towards Nikita's prediction that they will bury us eventually.
You aren't kidding, and that's a pretty good bookend to put on things, considering. Now, Gene, we're at about the end of the guest period of the show. So what I want you to do, think about what you want to summarize to the audience, the last things you want to say before the election, because we may have you on one more time before the election. I don't know how the schedule's going to going to work out, but this may be the last time before November 3rd that you're on the show. So give me the message to the audience before we let you go, my friend. Gene Daly, everyone.
My only passion right now is to everyone to vote, because I do believe that if everyone comes out, there's more people in the middle of the United States rather than on the coastal side. And we are going to have a free and fair election. And President Trump is going to be the winner of that election. So the only thing that we can do is to vote President Trump back into office for another 4 years. And then we'll be assured, because it's just like Reagan said, we are only one day away from losing our freedoms.
Right. And freedom didn't get passed to the next generation in the bloodstream. Every generation has to fight for it. And yes, we have to instruct each generation that that is the case, right? So
that's correct.
Yeah. And Gene, I couldn't agree with you more. The most critical thing to do is get registered and go vote, because as you have been on the air through the end of the Obama administration with me and all the way through the first term of President Trump, we have said time and time again, Gene, that we needed 5% to overcome the fraud. Remember that? Well, this it's 25% with this mail-in ballot garbage. We're going to have to overcome 25% voter fraud. So with that, Gene Daly, I want to get your last comment, and then we're going to close her out with you.
Folks, make sure you're registered. Make sure you vote.
All right. Gene Daly, everybody. I want to thank you so much, Gene, for being so absolutely generous with your time. Please join us again. Have a good one, Gene. Thanks a lot, buddy.
You too, sir.
All right, let's continue listening to Alex for a minute here.
Even sicker and can kill them. And with the synthetic nanotech antibody that he's taking, that's totally experimental, the studies show that it actually makes infections, viral infections, worse most of the time. Let's say that again, and you can go look all this up for yourself. And investigative journalist John Rappaport, who's been one of the top guys for top national news shows as one of their top investigators, he's done an excellent, frightening 19-minute analysis that we'll link at the bottom of the description here, where he goes through all of this as well. This is incredible. He's told that he tests positive. He's got a cough, a light fever. They take him to Walter Reed Medical Hospital. And we're told that, well, he's not that sick, but we had to take him to the hospital. That's because you can't administer these experimental, dangerous drugs under law unless you have someone hospitalized and say they're in serious condition. So he's either in serious condition but can still walk, or they're lying about him being in serious condition. Medical experts are on record saying that it is immoral to even give people remdesivir unless they are very close to death. And the same thing with experimental nanotech antibodies. So if it's bad to give someone one of these, it's hundreds of times worse to combine them together. We know the president is now a guinea pig of the military-industrial complex that is already angry at the fact that he's pulling us out of Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and trying to make peace deals with Russia, North Korea, and others. And we know that the deep state has tried to assassinate presidents before, like Ronald Reagan. And we also know they've successfully assassinated presidents before, like JFK in 1963. So we need to get this information out to other medical doctors, other scientists, and other journalists to make a really big deal about this. Or Walter Reed could literally kill the president with these experimental drugs, either on purpose or because they are absolutely, completely negligent fools. But whatever you do, research this information for yourself. We're showing you many of the articles here on screen. Again, the report from John Rappaport is at InfoWars.com. The president's life is in danger, being given highly dangerous drug combinations. And then flood the White House, flood your congressman or woman's lines, your senator's lines, your governor's lines. We have to make a big deal out of this, because many times in history, presidents and leaders are assassinated with poison, and then their very doctors are the ones that administered it and carried it out. This is a big part of history. And 30 days out from the election, Trump was set to win. The deep state had been exposed in multiple coup attempts. The entire deep state is in trouble. America has won a major trade war against China. The left and their cities are collapsing, and they are desperate. And they are desperate to keep Ruth Bader Ginsburg from being replaced and so many other key issues. So get the word out. Share this video. Share the John Rappaport report at man.video and pray for President Trump. Pray for President Trump and understand that he's a guinea pig, just like we are with Bill Gates and with Fauci and with Remdesivir and with all of these groups that have been ignoring every law, every regulation when it comes to COVID, skipping animal trials of vaccines, testing them on humans. And in one Bill Gates vaccine, 100% got sick, 20% went to the hospital, some died. In the other vaccines that were, quote, safer, 80% got sick, and 20% of them went to the hospital, some died. This entire COVID fiasco has ushered in a medical power grab, and all the default protections have been turned off. And all of these powerful interests want President Trump gone. They want the American people and populace punished. There are a lot of other angles as well. I predicted back in March they could poison the president and say it was COVID-19. Or they can produce weaponized forms of COVID-19 and infect the president with that as well, and then use it to legitimize their entire COVID-19 global martial law takeover. The Davos Group and others are on record saying this is a planetary reset to bring in worldwide financial collapse to consolidate control, to end prosperity. And President Trump, Bolsonaro, and others have been standing in the way of that. Again, please research this information, pray for President Trump, and share this information while you still can, because they have been suppressing scientists and doctors and others that have been exposing that much of what we've been told about COVID-19 has been a giant fraud. And in closing, the establishment needs to know that if something happens to President Trump and he dies, the individuals that violated protocols and safety procedures and default positions that protect life will be held accountable. And all over the United States, federal and state courts are ruling that these draconian lockdowns are martial law, are power grabs, and must be reversed and must be terminated. So America and the world are starting to wake up. The question is, will it be fast enough?
And we're back. Thanks for being here tonight, you guys. I hope you enjoyed my interaction there with Mr. Gene Daly here on Article 5 Live. Now, anybody that's left listening that wants to comment, I have a couple of proposals I want to put forth to you. I'm having difficulty getting people in the East Coast that are my guests to keep their commitment to the show, to showing up on the show. So that is showing up as a difficulty. And I'm wondering if I should bring Article 5 Live back to the traditional time of the old radio show, which was 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Sundays. I seem to have a lot easier time getting East Coasters, because that would be 7 o'clock for them, or 6 o'clock once we go off of daylight saving time. You know, right now it's on the East Coast. We're looking at past midnight. It's already Monday on the East Coast. Those of you listening, you can email me at Article 5 Live. Article 5 Live. No numbers. Article 5 Live at gmail.com. Article 5 Live at gmail.com. If you would like to comment on the time frame of the live broadcast. Now, you guys all know you can catch the archive on Facebook, on the Article 5 Live page, on my personal Facebook page, you know, Friends of Article 5 group, JD at Article 5 Hour on Twitter, the Article 5 Live YouTube channel, and the Podbean, on Podbean, or any other place, you know, we're on Spotify, the podcast is on Spotify, it's on Amazon Music, it's on Pandora, it's on Deezer, it's on Listen Notes. It's on another big one I can't think of right now, a huge one. Oh, iHeart. We're on iHeart too. So you can catch the archives of the show anywhere. So you don't have to catch it live is the point. So I want your comments. Thanks, Mike, for your comment. Mike always listens. He'll be here either way. Thank you, Mike. You're great. I really appreciate your dedication to listening to the presentation. It's a lot of work to do a show like this. I don't know if people know. It's a lot of fun, too, and it's my passion to bring you
you know, my opinion and other people's opinion may disagree with me or whatever, but I certainly appreciate each and every one of you listening. What we're going to do to expand our listenership, go on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to go on Blog Talk Radio, and we'll probably upload the show to Dark Sky Radio as well, because, you know, we want to get the message out. It's not going to be video on those two platforms. It'll be audio only, but I'm a radio guy. Opposite of Joe Walsh, remember that idiot that ran for president and turned never Trumper that was on national stage for a little while? Joe Walsh. I'm not a radio guy. The guy from Chicago, one-term congressman. What a bozo he is. Anyhow, I am a radio guy. I've been listening to radio since I'm about 6 years old, and that's a long-ass time ago, you guys. So, and I've been doing radio for quite some time. So does anybody have any questions about what we went over tonight? We covered a lot of ground, and I know I played the most demonized man in the history of media, and I frequently reference band.video, and tonight we listen to Alex's opinion about what they're doing to the president, or doing for the president, however you want to look at that. When I first heard of Alex Jones, I couldn't stand him. I absolutely couldn't listen to him. I thought he was, you know, he said some good things about American, you know, Americana and Americanism, but I just couldn't ride with him more than about 5 minutes. So, you know, 10 weird years went by and I tried again. I still couldn't do it. And then that movie came out, but it was Aaron Russo and Gerald Celente, and Alex Jones was in it. He was bullhorning the Bilderbergers or whatever. So I tried him again after watching that movie, because that was a fascinating movie. And that was back in the time he was talking about the Bush era, where the Amero and the plan to make North America the New World Order and all that stuff. I couldn't take it. But then when 2015 rolled around and I heard that Alex Jones was supporting Donald Trump for president, I was really surprised by that. And I started listening to Alex Jones, and I found out that he had grown a lot. Now he's still nuttier than fruitcake, and he screams a lot and he says some crazy stuff. And he always looks at the worst case scenario. Okay. So if you can't handle thinking about the worst case scenario, don't listen to Alex Jones, because he's going to give you the worst case scenario just about every time. From that respect, if you have a weak constitution and you don't want to hear that and it's going to make you crazy, don't listen to Alex Jones. But I kind of like to listen to that perspective, because you can dial it back from there, and he's not always right. And he's one of the few on the air that admits he's not always right. As long as he stays away from the 9/11 crap, I'm going to listen to Alex Jones all day long now. You know why? Because I know he's a patriot and he loves this country. He supports our president, and he's totally unafraid to express the fruits of his decades of research on all the globalism and all that kind of stuff. I listen to Alex. I'll admit it. I don't always agree with Alex. A lot of times I don't. But you get a lot of good information on band.video, my friends. They are doing the Lord's work on InfoWars. Believe me, I've seen every media outlet on planet Earth, and InfoWars is where it's at in this day and time right now. Robert says, if they do anything bad to our president, we old timers, patriots, and combat vets will make the first civil war look like a picnic. And by God, I know that's the truth, Robert Dickinson. And that's my biggest fear at this point in time, Robert, because I'm afraid these punk ass fools on the left that thinks they're so damn smart have no idea what they're in for. If they cross that line and the patriots in this country pick up arms to defend the United States of America, there is no shutting that off until we've won. And they will rue the day they ever had a leftist idea, because they're not going to win that battle. They're not even going to come close to winning. They're going to be so decimated so quickly if they pull that trigger. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, Robert, and I pray that we don't have to go there. But it's more and more each day, it's looking like they want to push us to that. They are not ready for what we would bring down on them. That is a fact. there's no way they could be ready unless they were us, right, Robert? You know, I'm not a military veteran. I'll tell you that right now. I know an awful lot of them, though. And my father, my grandfather, my father fought in World War II and my grandfather fought in World War I. And many of my friends are military veterans. You just heard Gene Daly is a military veteran of the Vietnam era. Veterans are a special breed. They've already put their lives on the line for this country and survived that. And they will be damned to hell if a bunch of punk ass leftists are going to take this country from us on our own homeland. That shit ain't going to happen. Pardon my language. We're not FCC regulated, but that just is not going to happen. As Robert said, they are not ready for what will be brought down upon them. Because those of us that aren't military like myself, we're ready, willing, able, and trained. And we will take direction from those of you who have the finest military training on planet Earth to direct us in what direction you want. Personally, I'm not a tough guy. I got plenty of firepower, but my expertise is in communication. I have ham radios. I have broadcast ability. So how I would be useful in the fight would be a communications guy. So I hope you guys listen to me out there. If it comes down, I'm your man. If you need communications, that's what I do. That would be my contribution to the war effort that they are going to bring down upon themselves. And I would be honored to serve in any capacity I'm physically and mentally capable of doing. So some great points brought by our avid listeners. Some of you guys say anytime. Some of you guys are saying make it earlier. Judge Jeanine canceled, and Corey Lewandowski canceled, and Joy Villa canceled, and Bobby Lawrence canceled. All that is because of timing. And while Corey Lewandowski canceled because he was in close contact with the president, and he's in quarantine right now, and he's not doing any media because of that, although I don't think COVID comes in over the internet yet, but the left thinks it does, but we know it doesn't. But, you know, there's reason that, you know, there's so much stuff going on. It's hard to get any of these big people who committed to come on the radio. I'm so used to doing radio. Come on the digital broadcast, the multicast, that have to change at the last minute, but we're trying to get them in now. For those of you that remember the Talkin' One Rockin' Radio Show, I have been in contact with the D-Man, and he is scheduled to come on the broadcast with me in digital, in all his splendid digital glory. I'm sure he'll be wearing the fedora and the sunglasses, so you won't actually be able to, you know, identify his face. But the D-Man's going to join the program in the future, too. Just a programming note for you guys that enjoy his red-hot rhetoric and his patriotism. And we'll be playing some of his music because he owns the rights to his music. And he has given me permission to use his music on this broadcast. So I'm looking forward to doing that again. So some of the names I dropped right now are people who have committed to be on the program that had to cancel. We're continuing to work to get these folks on. Now, another guy that used to be on the radio broadcast, I think 11 or 12 times, when a great friend of Article 5, Mr. Gary Byrne, who wrote a book about being in the Secret Service in the Clinton White House, as you know, it's called Crisis of Character. He also wrote Secrets of the Secret Service. We're working on getting Gary to come on the broadcast as well. It'd be great to have him on. I hope he can join us. I hope he can join us in the digital capacity. So you guys that have heard him all the years, my audience of Article 5 Hour, heard him for years on the program, can actually, you know, see him in an interview, just like you have on TV back when he's first being persecuted for the book he wrote, you know. But anyway, Gary's a good friend of the program, and we're going to get him on. Like I mentioned, when we're talking to Gene, we're going to have James Copeland again. I'll get Jennifer Harrison to come on the show. She can update you about AZ Patriots and what they've been up to. You know, there's plenty of reason to watch this show every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. We're thinking about changing the time depending upon feedback and depending on continuing difficulty of guests have with that particular time. Pick that time for this multicast, because when we were doing radio, I had the biggest digital audience when I was on 8 p.m. Arizona time here, we had calls from all over the country. Our digital audience was a lot bigger than any other time I was on the radio. So we picked that. We figured that for the multicast. Now it's unfair to change the time, I think, before we try Blogspot, because we'll be on Blogspot live as well. We probably won't be on Dark Sky live. We'll probably upload the MP3 to Dark Sky, and it'll be played in different markets at different times wherever they plug us in at. So that's how that's going to work. But we can reach a lot more folks with some internet radio stations we're going to go on. And I'd love your feedback on that stuff. Yeah, Mike, D-Man rocks for sure. Mike Vplex says D-Man rocks. Sure he does. He not only rocks, he's a solid patriot. And he loves this country. He loves America. And he can play the crap out of a guitar. He can sing pretty good, too. He writes good music as well. Article5live@gmail.com. Say an extra two or three prayers for our president and the first lady and all the staff and the senators and everyone that has come down with that horrible virus that the Chinese unleashed upon the world in an act of war, in my opinion. The Pentagon can't admit that. Otherwise, they'd be obligated to bring to bear the military prowess of the United States of America against China and start us into World War III, IV, or V, however you want to look at that. So they can't admit we're at war with China, but we are. They released this horrible plague upon us that has now inflicted our president and his family. Say an extra prayer for them, if you would, please, because we are really in big trouble if our president dies. Because, you know, nothing against Mike Pence, but he just doesn't have it in him to lead the way that Donald J. Trump does in these times, in my humble opinion. So with that, I love you one and all, and I want to absolutely thank everyone for being here with me tonight on the broadcast. I'm getting better at being the audio engineer while we're doing the show. You know, hats off to anybody that pulls that off without a mistake, okay? Because I got to tell you something. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes when we're doing the show. So thank you so much, and I want to once again remind you to get registered to vote. Many states, tomorrow's the last day. I don't care what party you are. Get registered to vote and vote Republican. Write down the ticket, because your and my livelihood depend on you overcoming 25% of the fraud coming your way November 3rd and beyond, because Election Day is now election month or 2 months, because the left can't win a fair election on Election Day, so they have to extend the election out 6-8 weeks, see, and put it through the courts. So with that, may God continue to bless you, your family, these United States of America, and may he protect our great president. Say a prayer for him. I'll be back live on the internet next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern, with another great guest. I don't know who yet, with the best 90 minutes in digital media. Article 5 Live. Till then, JD signing off. Thank you once again. Be safe and God bless.